Y'all ready for the Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour?
You kidding me?
Can't wait.
Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour. We give you that sports talk in the lamest terms. It gets a little raw in here, so if you like the sports talk clean, this is probably not the place for you. All right, let's get to it. What's going on, y'all? Welcome to another episode of the Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour. Brought to you by the Black Is Network. We are your co-hosts, Chris.
And Jonathan.
First off, I want to give a shout out to the crew from Hoopla over at the Red Rock Podcasting Network.
Definitely.
My folks, Spirit, Storm, and Dino Red. Got a chance to record with them yesterday.
Yep.
I know that show is already out, so make sure you check that out on Stitcher.
Yeah, definitely check it out. And definitely want to give a shout out to the crew. It was a good time.
Oh, yeah, we have fun, as we always do, cracking jokes, talking basketball.
Yeah.
So, shout out to y'all. Make sure y'all check us out and support them as well.
For sure.
And also, this weekend, you know, hope everybody had a good New Year's. You know, you made it through, didn't get too chocolatey wasted.
Yep, hope it was safe and all that stuff. Hope some of y'all didn't end up in jail and all that stuff. So, I mean, from what I know, it seemed like it was fine.
Yeah,
ran
folks had
through
a good
pretty
time.
Smooth. So,
2015 is here.
Yes, it is.
Ooh, about to hit my 20-year high school reunion.
Damn.
Yeah, I'm saying. I'm getting old, but I don't feel it. But, of course, you know, it's that time of the season, y'all.
Yep. Playoffs.
Playoffs.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we going to talk about some playoffs.
Man.
It's been good
this
weekend.
Good games.
Mm-hmm. Some interesting things said as in the NBA, and of course that college football playoffs happened, and some good games. We down to our final two for the national championship.
Yes, sir.
So if y'all want to chop it up and get up with us, feedback, comments, any of that stuff, you can hit us up via email, thebrotherslehman@gmail.com, on Twitter @brotherslehman, on the hotline 323-455-4219.
Yeah, hit us up. Any questions, comments, concerns you guys may have, anything y'all want to know, anything y'all want to dish out to us, let us know and we will definitely get back at you.
Let's get into this. We're going to start with the NFC in this game that just ended. Cowboys, man.
Yeah. Gotta give them props. Got to give the Cowboys credit. They pulled it out. Luckily.
Down 14-0.
They were getting their butts whooped early on in the game. Detroit had a lot of momentum going, and second half, it was the tale of two halves, basically. Yeah. The Cowboys came out second half and just came with it. Detroit just couldn't get anything going offensively in the second half.
No, it started out hot. And then, you know, the Terrence Williams touchdown at the end of the second quarter was major.
That was big. It was a 70-something yard touchdown. Like, ugh.
But we know what everybody's talking about. Everybody going to be talking about. Third down play, that pass interference that was called and then reversed. We saw they were like, oh, you know.
Yeah.
Pass interference. It's like, uh-oh, here we go, Dallas.
Linebacker for Dallas. Forget his name. I know he was drafted out of Iowa. Clearly, pass interference.
Yeah.
Didn't even attempt to look at the ball, for the ball, at all. Yeah. And even the announcer was kind of like, oh, clearly, pass interference.
Yeah. I mean, especially the way they threw it. I mean,
the refs threw the flag right. Like, P.I.
And, you know, and normally around that time, if it's not, they usually will just pick the flag up pretty quickly.
And at that point, you're like, Detroit looks like they might have this one in the bag.
At least get a...
they can score.
Right. Put some points up, go up six.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, do the whole call, pass interference, 15-yard first down. Okay. All of a sudden, Cowboys start cheering. Like, wait, what's going on? All of a sudden, fourth down, Detroit's kick. What? What happened? Yeah, I'm...
Surprise.
I would be furious.
Pissed.
if I was the Lions. Pissed. Now, Jim Caldwell did come in after the game, and of course, it's like, look, one play does not make the game. And he's
and
right.
I agree with that. It doesn't. But
that wasn't
still,
the only play. But, I mean, having a chance to at least go up 6 points, you know, granted, you know, we'll all say, well, Dallas came back down, got that touchdown. You know, but it's different when you're playing just, you know, touchdown to win the game versus, you know, all we need is a field goal to tie things. You know, defensive played a little different. You know, but man, you know, it was looking kind of bad. Des Bryant showed up.
He showed up. He was
a little quiet early.
A little quiet.
I mean, 3 targets, 3 for 48. I mean, at early in the game, it was, you know, it was basically who was going to win that battle between Detroit's D line and Dallas' O line. And early on,
Detroit
was just
murdering their offensive line. They looked terrible.
Mm-hmm.
They made them look bad, but they came out second half. I guess Jason Garrett gave them a nice little speech, gave them some motivation, and they came out and they looked much better. They looked focused and ready, and they came out hot.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, DeMarco Murray, 19 carries for 75 yards and a touchdown. Not, you know, solid, but not
spectacular.
Not what they're used to. They're used to getting 100 plus yards from this guy. Mm-hmm. They had to lean on Tony Romo, and, you know, 19 to 31, 293 yards, 2 touchdowns, you know, was sacked 6 times. But
he was getting his butt whopped in the first half.
You know, but second half came through,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, Dallas is moving on. As far as Detroit, you know, they played pretty well, just couldn't get anything going. I mean, didn't get much, 90 yards total from the rushing game. You know, Golden Tate, 6 for 89 and a touchdown. Calvin Johnson, 5 for 85,
but they did a good job pretty much shutting him down for the most part.
Yeah, Dallas defense, you know, which during the season you did not want them on the end of the field for a game like this. However, they stepped up.
Yeah, when it counted the most, they made the plays. They made the necessary plays. And speaking of Dallas' defense, how about this? How about this quote from Barry Church, their safety, who says he would have called pass interference if he was a ref. So, I mean, clearly, dudes know that they got off lucky. I mean, that should tell you that right there. They're like, I mean, clearly it was a blatant pass interference call. You know you got off lucky with that one. But at the same time, like we said, one play does not designate the outcome of a game. You know, even though it did happen in a critical moment.
Yeah.
Detroit, with the way they played in the first half, they should have kept their foot on the pedal. And unfortunately, they weren't able to. They let Dallas back in the game. And, you know, it happened.
Yeah.
We see it literally. You see it like every single year where there's a critical play and it's just like, what the fuck? What?
Yeah.
And then, but again, I cannot blame one play on the outcome of the game. So congratulations to the Cowboys. They pulled it out.
It was just, you get that luck.
Now, oh, they get to travel to Lambeau Field, and play Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're gonna talk about these next couple games. You know, shout out to Cam Newton, finally got that W. Man, that
was an ugly game.
Mm.
That was terrible to watch. But I mean, Carolina did what they had to do. Their defense showed up,
man. What?
Their defense showed
a record
up.
Setting 78 yards allowed the whole game.
78 total yards. That's insane. That's completely insane. And clearly Ryan Lindley will be probably a third string quarterback.
No, I mean, like, he was a third string quarterback.
But I mean, you feel for him. You feel for Arizona and Bruce Arians.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean,
losing guy after guy,
yeah, man after man. You lose your quarterback and your backup. You don't want to start your rookie because I guess he looked just terrible in practice. So you're like,
starting running back's gone.
I mean, it was bad. So
yeah, I mean,
I give them credit for staying. They played tough.
Mm-hmm.
They played hard and they were leading come halftime. But unfortunately, Cam Newton, they just had too much firepower. That defense just shut him down.
Yeah, that defense came through.
And shout out to Jonathan Stewart.
These last three
we've been saying for the longest, stick with running back.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Hope you keep him, because I guess he's a free agent at the end of the season. Oh, so the way he's balling, cats want him.
Yeah, I'd be leaving.
Cats want him.
My question I'd say to my agent is, hey, will I get the start, or am I backing up D'Angelo Williams? D'Angelo Williams.
We ain't splitting touches. Yeah. I need 20-plus carries every game.
Look, 24 carries, 123 yards, and a touchdown.
He's been beasted.
Yeah, these last few weeks, he's been on. You know, other, the rest of that, you know, Greg Olsen, 3 for 37. Kelvin Benjamin, 4 for 33. I mean, you know, they made plays when they had to.
Mm-hmm.
Larry Fitzgerald, 3 for 31 on 8 targets. There's been talk of where he's going to go next season because he might be leaving, and I don't blame him.
Well, they said he's making too much. I guess he's supposed to count like $27 million against the cap or some ridiculous number. They said they're probably going to add some restructure, and he's probably going to say no. So at that point, it's like, all right, we got to cut you.
Right.
And well, then
my good years, you didn't have nothing. Now you want me to just take a pay cut.
So, I mean, I wouldn't knock Larry Fitzgerald, one of the best receivers to ever play. I'm sure he won a ring. He came close.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he wants one, though. So, I mean, I'm sure he's going to look out there and go to New England. Don't go to New England, please. Jesus. I'm like, no.
Speaking of Bear, you'd be like, the riches keep getting richer.
I'd be like, and of course, Tom Brady took a pay cut. Of course you did.
Tom Brady will.
Like, they relieved him like $20 million. Like, that, the great. Of course you did. Because they want to re-sign Darrell Revis.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I. That's why Tom Brady is Tom Brady. But again, you know, back to this Carolina-Arizona game. You know, Bruce Arians, even with the loss, I still consider him coach of the year. No question.
Mm-hmm.
With the way he performed with that team. And, I mean, shout out to Carolina, Ron Rivera. I mean, they started off, what, 0-4?
Yeah, I mean,
people
bad.
Were like, they terrible. They ain't going to do nothing. We were talking about them. And
luckily
for them, their division sucked the whole season. So they were able to squeak in. But they always say, once you get in the playoffs, so it's a whole different season again.
Yeah,
so
it's a great matchup. Yeah, I actually thought Arizona's D would step up in this game.
They did for the most part. Mm-hmm. They did for the most part.
It's hard. If
it's tough.
Team running. All right, before we get to the second round of the divisional round with this conference, Ndamukong Suh, noticed after the game, a little emotional, you know, was really upset. You can tell he's a guy he's a great player who doesn't like to lose. He basically flat out said, I basically expected to win the game. I did not expect this outcome. And, you know, how when you don't like losing, when you lose, he was like,
you take it hard.
And he, you know, kind of walked off.
Part of that, I think, could be that
is he saying
might
goodbye?
Be his last time in a Detroit uniform. You never know, but, I mean, he clearly cares about the game.
Mm-hmm.
He plays hard. I mean, he plays hard every down.
Yeah.
That you cannot take away from
him. He had back-to-back sacks in the game.
He might not be the nicest guy on the field, but He plays his tail off every single down, so I will give him that.
Now, should he have played in the game? We didn't get that happen after our last show. Because we saw it, and I still haven't watched. I wanted to see the whole play up to that stomp. But what you told me is it was like,
yeah, I saw
whoops.
It, and the first time he stepped on him, it looked like an accident. It looked like he was backing up a little bit, didn't notice anybody was in, was like, oh, you know, my bad. And it was kind of like, oh, it's Aaron Rodgers. Let me step on you some more. So, I mean, because the first time he did it, Aaron Rodgers didn't even really react to it. The second time, you saw Aaron Rodgers, like, hit him like, dude. Because I think Aaron Rodgers even realized the first time he didn't see him there.
It happens.
So, for that one, I mean, based on reputation, yes, he should have been suspended. They shouldn't have changed it to a fine, I don't think. They should have stuck with what they were going to do. Because, I mean, it's just, there's too many incidents.
Yeah.
It was his first one. That's a different story. But the fact that he's had these issues before against this team as well in the past. I mean, no.
He stomping.
Yeah, he should have been suspended. I mean, damn it. Remember when Albert Haynesworth was stomping on cats? I mean,
yeah, he was stepping on heads.
Yeah, so I'm like, you know, God, we have to set an example this can't be tolerated.
I was a little surprised.
I mean, how many strikes do you get?
He got bailed out. I mean, clearly because it was a playoff game, he got bailed out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I agree. This probably will be the last time.
The last time he gets bailed out. It has to be.
Oh, yeah. He may be the last time in the Lions uniform.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know Detroit fans is suffering right now.
Yeah, they upset. But, I mean, hey, kudos to them on a great season. Mm-hmm. They have a great coach, Jim Caldwell. Again, he's another one you could say, you know, a coach of the year candidate. Yeah. I just stick with Bruce Arians just for the injuries and everything he's had to deal with. I give him kudos for that. But Jim Caldwell did a great job, mm-hmm. you know, and always like to see an African-American coach do well.
Yeah, and hopefully, you know, he gets some good momentum going into next season, and hopefully they're in the playoffs again, you know, which we never know with this team. Exactly. All right, NFC, divisional round. We were saying Cowboys at the Packers. I like that. I like that game.
And you know who we all going with, or at least who I'm going with, Aaron Rodgers. Mm. I mean, there's no question about it. They're at Lambeau. It's January. Mm-hmm. I'm expecting cold temps. Even though Dallas is 8-0 on the road, they're undefeated.
Yeah, and they may feel better playing on the road.
They may feel good on the road, but at the same time, you're going to Lambeau Field. This ain't just no normal field. You're going to Lambeau in the cold. Can they handle that cold weather? Can DeMarco Murray run that ball in the cold weather? Tony Romo, we saw his hand got a little banged up in the game.
Yeah.
He's outdoors now. Can he fling that ball like he needs to in cold weather? Because we saw some of them balls were skipping, were a little flat. Yeah. I'm just saying. So, I mean, but with the way the Packers have been rolling, I mean, offensively, I don't see Dallas's defense stopping them. With Detroit, they were a little limited. I mean, you kind of, if Calvin Johnson doesn't really have a huge game, you know, you don't really know.
Yeah, I mean, Matthew Stafford is not Aaron Rodgers.
Not at all. Not at all. And then you got Eddie Lacy back there, who's a beast, who can run it. Yeah, you got Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb. There's just too many weapons they're going to have to deal with. And, I mean, you got to deal with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Period. So, credit to the Cowboys for getting here, but I do not see them leaving with a W.
No, I think most people would favor the Packers, and that just with the home field and everything. It should be closer. I like it because, you know, you do have a running game. It didn't do that much, but it did wear out the defense. Mm-hmm. Detroit's defense is a lot better than Green Bay's. Mm-hmm. So you will be able to run the ball more, probably be more successful with DeMarco Murray. It's just, you know, if it comes down to the quarterbacks, I mean, it's who we trust more. I mean, like, duh, of course, Aaron Rodgers. You know, but Tony Romo has been looking great. He's looked the part.
He's looked good.
He's done well this game. And, you know, I hope it's close. I could see a lot more points in this 24-20 game. You know, maybe getting whoever gets closer to 28-30 may win this game. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I'm sticking with Aaron Rodgers.
It's right on.
And then you got the
no chance game. I'm calling it right now, no chance game. I'm not giving Carolina a chance to win. I'm sorry, but I'm not. Seattle's been rested. They are ready. They hungry. They at home. Carolina's going to need a miracle. Even though their defense has played well, they are going to need an absolute miracle to win that game. Cam Newton, watch yourself.
Yeah, Cam Newton is going to have to be Superman. Because
she's streaky enough as it is. You can't be that way against Seattle.
Yeah, I mean,
because they're going to tear you apart.
Yeah, he's had to be that way with Arizona. Had to be Superman against Arizona's defense. But, you know, Arizona ain't have beast mode.
I am curious of the matchup, if they're going to match up Kelvin Benjamin with Richard Sherman. Mm. Because Kelvin Benjamin, he's a big guy, but he is still a rookie. Richard Sherman loves to talk, loves to chit-chat. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if he's going to get in that kid's head and take him out the game that way. Like, oh, you done. You suck.
Well, they
you
are
garbage.
They're going to have to move him around. Yeah, he might.
I'm just saying, like, you know, you can break these kids down mentally. You a rookie. You going against me? Come on, bro. Come on, bro. I can just see some of the stuff he's going to say to him. So it's going to be interesting. And I'm curious of how they're going to defend Greg Olsen.
Yeah.
Because, you know, wide receivers, they got that. He's tight end, though. So I'm curious.
He's a big play tight end.
He's a big play guy. And they got to stop Jonathan Stewart.
Yeah.
So there's Carolina has some things going for them. But, again, I don't give them a chance. No, Seattle's going to whop them. Yeah. They ain't got beast mode. Russell Wilson has played reasonably well lately.
You trust Wilson more.
Oh, of course. Wide receiver-wise, you know, yeah, they're a little iffy, but they tend to make plays when necessary. Yeah. And then, again, their defense is just healthy and they're rolling, so.
Yeah, Cam, I think, may have to do too much, and it may hurt him in the end. But, I'm going with Seahawks with that.
No doubt.
All right, on to the AFC. Colts defense. Talking about defenses coming up.
Yeah.
Came up big versus Cincinnati.
Well.
You know, no A.J. Green, no Gresham, which was like, oh, that's not good at all. I mean, your best player's not playing.
Clear.
Your two best, you know, pass catchers ain't playing. And then lose Ray Maluga in the game. You're like, oh, okay.
It's a wrap, son.
Yeah.
And, I mean, unfortunately, I hate to say this, for Andy Dalton, Marvin Lewis, they got to go.
Mm.
Both of them, you got to go. Marvin Lewis has just been there too long and has not done enough. Andy Dalton, again, has just – they get to the playoffs, but he just can't do nothing in the playoffs. And like I have been saying, he is too dependent on A.J. Green. If A.J. Green ain't playing, he has no shot.
Nope.
Because that's the only guy he targets. It's similar to Matt Stafford in Detroit before he got Golden Tate.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, I like Mohamed Sanu, but apparently Andy Dalton doesn't trust him enough. Because, I mean, he looked terrible. He looked bad, and it's getting to be a broken record with him, and I just think he needs a change of scenery. He needs a change, and that team just needs a new change at quarterback. Or Marvin Lewis got – one of them at least has to go. I say both, but at least one of them got to go.
Yeah, 18 to 35, 155 yards.
Ugh.
Nothing. Your leading receivers, Giovanni Bernard, 8 for 46. Nothing down. Mohamed Sanu, who should, you know, got 7 targets, 3 for 31. Jeremy Hill, 13 carries, 47 yards.
Nothing. He had a touchdown, but.
He only ran it. Giovanni Bernard, got 3 carries. So I'm like, all right. I mean, Andrew Luck, once again, 31 for 44, 376 and a touchdown.
It's a lot of passes.
Yeah. Because you had that running game was kind of kiffing. And then Daniel Heron was like,
don't drop that shit.
I know what to do with it.
He had a feeling of them dropsies. Like, oh, shit, dude, here you go.
So, I mean, that kudos to Indy, man. They pulled it out. Mm-hmm. Andrew Luck is just the real deal, Holyfield.
Yeah, man. T.Y. Hilton, 6 receptions, 103 yards, continuing. And Daniel Heron had 10 receptions. I didn't even notice that. Wow. Hakeem Nicks even had a couple sightings making some big catches.
So I'm like, you know, Andrew Luck is that dude.
Mm-hmm.
They go as he goes, and he had a great game. And, geez, what, I mean.
That D was, God, D was on it.
It's kind of funny looking back now. It's like, yeah, there was really a debate between RG3 and Andrew Luck.
Yeah, I'm saying.
For real? Because Andrew Luck is a monster. But, I mean. They going to have their work cut out for him.
They are.
Going to the Mile High against his old boy, Peyton Manning. And, you know, it's going to be tough. God, that's going to be a great game.
Mm-hmm.
But for Cincinnati, I mean, they just need some changes.
Yeah, something's got to happen.
Something's got to change. Something has got to change. They have so much talent on that team, but I don't know what's wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
They need another voice. They need a different voice.
They keep getting into the playoffs. I mean, Danny Dalton's doing what he has to do to, I guess, get the team to the playoffs. But once he gets
don't
there,
make enough
nothing
big
happens.
Plays. He's a. I guess you want to call him a better version of Alex Smith.
Yeah, I guess. At least Alex.
I mean, Alex
Smith got W's at least. So, he ain't got. He can't throw it down the field like that.
Yeah.
But I mean, he ain't gonna just not do nothing. Like, give you no. Turnovers, just
it was bad.
And then battle rivalry, Ravens and Steelers. You know, no Le'Veon Bell was like, I don't know how this is going to turn out, and it didn't turn out good
at
all.
I mean, neither team really did well rushing the ball.
Nope,
it really came down to the quarterbacks. Joe Flacco, 259 and 2 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Big Ben, 2 picks.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I mean, you can tell the difference. You know, Joe Flacco, 18 of 29. Ben Roethlisberger, 31 of 45.
Yeah.
Sacked 5 times.
Dude, their defense was looking good, man.
Mm-hmm.
Haloti Ngata's back, and that was just
causing a ruckus.
Causing a problem for cats because, geez Louise.
Steve Smith had a solid 5 for 101. You know, Owen Daniels 4 for 70. I mean, they kind of got it rolling. I mean, yeah, their running game didn't get much going, but Pittsburgh. I mean, Le'Veon Bell has really been.
Yeah, they missed him. He was the. He was like they train.
Yeah, they ride on him.
Ride on him.
I mean, shout out to this dude. When we probably do our recap of the season as a whole, probably because I had this dude on two of my fantasy teams, Antonio Brown. Man, I mean, he has leaped into.
Oh, he's an elite receiver.
Yes.
Without question. He's elite.
Yeah. 14 targets, 9 for 117 yards.
Should have had a touchdown.
Yeah, this dude is, I mean.
But he's, can't say enough about him.
Nah.
He's a beast. Man. And clearly you got you your number one receiver.
Yeah.
Now you just need to find a number two. But, I mean, Martavius Bryant, you look pretty good. Marcus 5 catches.
All right. They got a decent receiving core. It's just I still think they need some line work.
They need some help on that D.
Yeah.
They need to get younger on defense.
Yeah, I know James Harrison,
Troy Polamalu.
You know, they're getting up in age.
Getting up there in age, man.
And they usually just can just rotate, bring in younger linebackers. You know, but right now that's a problem.
Not to mention Big Ben starting to get up there in age too.
Yeah. If you can't protect him, that's not gonna help him. He can make plays.
Yeah.
But
he doesn't seem to be as mobile as he used to.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't. And then on to this AFC division round. Yeah, so you already got your squad. You got the Colts coming in. Of course, it's always going to be good.
Let's go. Oh, my gosh. How is this going to play out? We got to play Peyton Manning's former team. It always seems to play out this way. I don't know. We got to play them. Then we got to fly to New England and play Tom Brady if they win. Mm-hmm. And then we go into the Super Bowl.
That's the plan.
It is.
Yeah, it's going to be all this hype up.
It's going to be a great game.
I still like Denver in this game. Mm-hmm. I think their defense is more consistent. I think they're going to be a little hungry with this game. Come out, kind of get back to that, you know, playing what they were before. Because the end of the season was a little rocky. They got the W's.
Yeah.
But it was a little rocky.
Yeah.
Established C.J. Anderson. And I hope to see the – at least close to the Peyton Manning we used to. I'm not expecting him to throw 4 touchdowns and, you know, 400 yards. But at least if he gets 2 touchdowns, about 300 yards, seems to be in rhythm. You know, as a Broncos fan, I'd like to see that.
Yeah.
Along with that W.
Yeah. So, I mean, of course, I'm going with my squad. Mm-hmm. No question.
Of course.
Yeah, I think they're going to be hungry. They're going to be rested. Well rested. I mean, a lot of the guys needed it. Julius Thomas was banged up. Demaryius Thomas was banged up. Defensively, we were banged up a little bit. So, this week was much needed. We got guys coming back healthy, hungry. We got some starters back. So I'm ready. Mm-hmm. I know this defense is ready. You know, Peyton, I think Peyton needed a week to just clear his mind. We had our bye week like early in the season. So, I mean, I think it was like week 4.
Week 4, yeah.
So, I mean, we haven't really had much of a break. So, I mean, this was a great time for the guys to refresh, get their minds right, you know, relax a little bit. So, I think they're going to come out hungry. They know they were a game away from winning the title last year. And I think these guys know that they want it.
Mm-hmm.
They tasted it. And now it's like, all right, we want it again.
Yeah.
You know, especially Von Miller wasn't there last time. Chris Harris tore his ACL. I know these guys are ready to get back there. So let's go.
Oh, yeah. And then the final game, which is probably the most interesting and probably may get the most ugly. In terms of not liking Baltimore going into New England, you know, I mean, got Terrell Suggs back. I mean, Elvis Doom, we didn't talk about Elvis Doom over here, who had a big game.
Yeah, 2 sacks.
Mm-hmm.
Was looking good. You know,
they get that pressure. That's key.
Yeah. And, I mean, with Haloti not a back, man, their defense looks complete. Mm-hmm. And they look like they're – I know they ready.
Oh,
yeah. I know they ready. Terrell Suggs is ready. He had a hell of a game.
Yeah. Oh, and, you know, he's chomping at the bit.
Oh, like, yeah. I want Tom Brady. I can't wait to take him down. Because if they beat New England.
Which the last time he went to the Super Bowl.
That's going to be.
In New England.
That's going to be huge for their confidence.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be huge for their confidence. I mean, I said this. I did not. This is a dangerous team coming into the playoffs. You know, Joe Flacco has performed well in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
He seems to up his game when it comes to the playoffs. So,
yeah. Whew. Yeah, I want to see what the sweater Bill Belichick got, what he's coming with. And, you know, it comes with something always different. But
Tom Brady.
Yeah.
He got Brady. He got Gronk.
Yeah. That's always going to help.
I mean, shoot.
But you don't need to block.
Yeah. Their offensive line's got to show up. They got to show up. They can't look like they looked early on in the season.
No.
They have to show like they have the past few games, giving Brady time so he can pick the defense apart. And, whew, golly, this is going to be a battle royale. It's going to be a great game.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you got Darrell Revis on one end against Steve Smith, which that could get a little testy.
Yeah, okay.
That could get a little testy. You got Tom Brady and Terrell Suggs and these boys. You know they're going to be chopping at each other and talking smack. So this could be a real chippy game.
Yeah.
I could see some personal fouls coming off in this game.
Oh, yeah, I bet. I wouldn't be surprised. It's probably the last game on Sunday. Yeah. Knowing how they changed their thing.
Oh, excuse me. We've already got it taken care of.
All right.
They've already set the schedules.
Oh, what it looking like?
So, Baltimore, New England, that's the first game.
Mm.
1:30 on Saturday.
Yeah, this is all West Coast time.
And then Carolina and Seattle. I don't know why these aren't Sunday. But Carolina, Seattle is 5:15 Saturday.
Well, because you got the battle of the QBs.
Yeah. Then you got Tony Romo and Aaron Rodgers, first game, 10:00 on Sunday. So, I don't know if y'all going to church. You might want to get that early service. And then,
you know,
1:40 Denver, Indianapolis. Winners go to fight each other to see who's going to the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I can't wait.
Then one step closer.
Love this time of the year.
Oh, yeah. We can't wait for that.
Yes, sir.
You know, some other news before we head on the break. The Eagles head coach Chip Kelly. And first I read there was some rumblings what was going to happen. Gets to oversee player personnel. The GM, Howie Roseman, got promoted to executive VP of football operations. And their current VP of player personnel, Tom Gamble, got let go. So, Chip Kelly now gets to buy the groceries and pick them all out.
This is dangerous territory.
It is.
When you give a head coach the power to choose as well, it tends to get ugly.
Mm.
I've really seen it work once, and that was with Mike Shanahan in Denver. That was early on when he was picking Terrell Davis and them cats.
Yeah.
And then later on, it ain't really work much. Wow. So, I mean, they tried to do it with Josh McDaniels. It ain't work. Mike Holmgren, I think, had that power, too. It really doesn't work very often. I mean, you kind of need to do – because to me, there's just too much focus taken away from the coaching side.
Yeah.
Because now you're doing GM work.
Mm-hmm.
So you really don't have the time and chance to really focus on your team coaching-wise as you would when you had a GM. So, I mean
– because I'm starting to wonder, is Tom Gamble the one who decided to waive – DeSean Jackson? Because I'm like, yeah, DeSean Jackson and Jeremy Maclin, y'all probably would be in the playoffs.
Probably.
But, you know, I'm like, okay.
It's going to be it's
dicey.
It's iffy, yeah.
Bills head coach Doug Marrone opts out of his contract.
I was like, wow.
Said he had, interesting. You know, with the new ownership, he had a window to opt out of his contract.
His talk, he might be the favorite for the Jets job.
Yeah, I've heard that.
So,
you know, and it came out from sources that he wasn't happy. Wasn't happy with the Sammy Watkins trade. Thought he was giving up.
I heard he stormed out of that room.
I mean, Sammy Watkins had a great season.
Sammy Watkins had a great season, but is it worth trading basically two first-round picks to trade up to get a wide receiver who is good, but who ain't Megatron-esque?
Yeah.
I mean, or Julio Jones. You know what I'm saying? I mean, when the Falcons traded up to get Julio Jones, I mean, that was kind of like the one missing piece for them, offensively at least. They just needed another receiver.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't a number one wide receiver in that draft. That was Mike Evans.
And then, exactly. And then the Buffalo Bills, I mean, you could argue they need their first round pick. Mm-hmm. I mean, at least with Atlanta, you were like, okay, they got Julio Jones, they good. I mean, they took off from that point, and their offense was deadly. Buffalo, you still don't know who their quarterback is. And they probably, with the quarterbacks that are potentially coming out, they probably could have used that pick.
Yeah.
As some ammo to probably trade up to get maybe one of them quarterbacks. I don't know. So I can understand it happens. You want one guy. But I heard he was more upset of not receiving a quarterback or trading up if we wasn't trading up to get a quarterback.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I get, you know, they need a quarterback.
So, yeah, they do.
You can't have a good receiver and ain't got nobody to throw him the ball.
No, so, it ain't going to last long. Dude going to want to leave.
Exactly.
We're sitting in Arizona.
So we'll see. But now Buffalo need a new coach. And I'm like, oh, Lord.
Yeah, because we had we threw it out early with Black Monday. Most of them picks happened.
Mm-hmm.
We know, since we were speaking of Mike Shanahan, talks of him going to the Niners.
Like, heard talks of him going to the Niners.
That's a good job for him. I'm like, yeah.
I heard Denver's offensive coordinator is a hot commodity.
Mm-hmm. I think
a lot of people trying to interview him.
Oh, yeah, I think Arizona's defensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
He's hot.
Ty Bowles is on the list.
They had to kind of like hold back, like wait till the game's over.
Yeah.
And regardless of what happens, you can do all your interviews. Mm-hmm. So he will be a hot commodity as well.
I heard the Raiders might be looking at Jack Del Rio.
I heard that
as a
too.
Head coach, so I'm like, oh, great. I hope we ain't got to lose. I hope we don't lose two coordinators. Like, damn. But that's what part of territory to being a good team.
That's what happens.
Your coaches get plucked.
Mm-hmm. So. All right, y'all. So we are going to take a quick break. We are going to come back, get into some NBA talk, man.
Yes, sir.
It's been good.
Yes, it has.
Y'all, let's do the Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour.
Holla.
I figure we started out correctly. This is Blueprint. RJD2 on the tracks. Automatic, just for my people. Automatic, just for my crew. Printmatic, cinematic perfection. The blueprint for crews that lack direction. Automatic, just for my people. Automatic, just for my crew.
I'm definitively ill, while most MCs show nothing but cold symptoms and hopes to ripping. I turn crews of hard rocks into potholes to pissing, and you'll be no different because you don't listen to anyone except your crew of mediocre henchmen who got you gassed up. But you should watch who you listen to. They only did it cause they trying to get rid of you. You be the man standing in the limelight instead of you. A little less dead weight, a little more revenue. And you're about to play right into their hands cause you dumb enough to buy all the bullshit they're selling you. I guess one's born every minute. And on a catchy roll with a living proof of that schedule. Man, listen, I'm willing to bet your DJ was born 1 minute ahead of you. In the same hospital, maternity ward, crying in the crib, sitting right next to you. You got beef? I got vegetables. So if you really want it, you can leave with a full stomach.
Printmatic, cinematic perfection, the blueprint for crews that lack direction. Automatic, just for my people. Automatic, just for my crew. Printmatic, cinematic perfection, blueprint for crews that lack direction. Automatic, just for my people. Automatic, just for my crew.
In rumbles, I funnel words until I start feeling fully galvanized. Inhale formaldehyde, exhale a battle rhyme. Beginning bombing in a calm manner. Jaws dropping, shatter, ball bladders burst. Punks jump off and get their egos punctured by your fourth out of verse. And you can celebrate afterwards with a single release party in the back of my black hearse. Invite your groupies, maybe one of them's a nurse with imported ice cubes from purgatory in her purse. But I doubt it. And to my rivals, your chance of survival is slim to none unless you get a gun or show your true colors and act like a bitch and run. Praying that you're not another raisin in the sun. But I suppose foes of mine chose the latter and scattered out of the way of powerful flows. I shatter on those with blows that land hard enough to knock the snot out of your nose. Isn't it funny how, funny style, contestants get reverted back to adolescence. Turn your microphones in and turn into crack peddlers. Now you're dope and no one expects you to rap better. You ain't a hard rock, you write raps with feathers. In the school of hard knocks, you majored in mascara. With a minor in black leather, a nightclub swinger trying to get your sister act together. But I'll close the curtain. It's certain that I'll close the curtain.
Printmatic, cinematic perfection, blueprint for crews that lack direction. Automatic, just for my people. Automatic, just for my crew. Printmatic, cinematic perfection, the blueprint for crews that lack direction. Automatic, just for my people. Automatic, just for my crew. Printmatic.
Welcome back, y'all, to the Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour. So if y'all want to talk some football with us, let us know. It's playoff time. We want to hear from you. Let us know your thoughts and who you think is going to win these divisional games. Hit us up on Twitter, at Brothers Layman via email, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com. And it's on the hotline, 323-455-4219. We'll read it on the show.
Yeah, let us know your thoughts. Let us know if you need to vent about your team because y'all lost. Go ahead and vent. Let us know how you're feeling or if you're happy about your team. Let us know how happy you are, and we would definitely get back at you.
Yeah, baby. Ida, in some interesting news so far with the NBA, still going on strong. Let's start with some news that hit out here with Mr. Kobe Bryant. First, we saw that Byron Scott said he wanted Kobe to shoot more.
Which I thought was impossible. But
yeah, that was a little weird. I mean, we know Kobe's been playing well. He had him a triple-double the other game, kind of being more of a facilitator. Even Byron Scott said, hey, I like that. I think he needs to shoot more.
What?
He's shooting more. He ain't facilitating.
He said he's trying to keep his shot attempts down to the 14, 15, 16 area, and I want him up in the 18, 19 area. But I can't argue with results.
No, he can't.
I mean,
granted, yes, I do agree that anything under 20 is good.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, if he's hot, then, of course, he gets the green line regardless. But yeah, 25 is a lot. Around 20, I think, would be all right. You know, he's trying
to. If he's shooting 25 shots, if he hits 18 of them, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But if he hits 5 of 25, then I'm like, okay, tone it down.
Yeah, I mean, he's been playing the ball well. We've seen him do that a couple times in his career. I mean, I think it was last year or the year before.
I think it was the year before.
Yeah, he had that little run where he was getting off like 10 assists, like plus four games. Like, oh, he can facilitate.
He point guard.
Yeah, and then what happened? He went back to shooting. So we expect that's probably going to happen again. But, yeah, that was I was like, okay, that's
interesting.
Different.
Yeah.
I mean, you said you didn't want the Lakers to shoot threes. Like, all right, Byron. Look, your team is playing hard. That's what I like to see.
And I got a little more on the Lakers later on.
Oh, yeah. That was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Kobe Bryant says the international players are more skillful and blames AAU ball for it. For the lack of skill with the American players.
This is one of the few times you hear me on here that I agree 100% with Kobe Bryant on that one.
Oh, yeah. I agree with him too.
And a lot of people may say, well, you had the luxury of being out in Italy and blah, blah, blah. It's like, dude, you can clearly see. I mean, I've seen it with my own eyes over the years watching basketball. Their talent level has diminished. It has. I mean, that's just obvious. If I could guaranteed look at the 80s, 90s, and then look at the 2000s, you can distinctly see two totally different games. When you look at the 80s, 90s, these guys are fundamentally sound, where you had, and it was so weird, and it almost seemed like literally every team had a bench. Like you had somebody on every bench could just come out and They could take over.
Yeah.
They could do their thing. It seemed like every team had somebody like that. Now, maybe five teams have a great role player off the bench. I mean, the fundamentals that they teach. I mean, prime example. I'll use Mirotić as an example. Came over. You could argue he's rookie of the year right now. The way he's playing. And he's just fundamentally sound ball. I mean, look at the Spurs. Look at all their players. They're fundamentally sound for the most part. They can hit you in a variety of ways. Nowadays, with these kids, everybody's buddy-buddy. There's no real competition when it comes to, you know, the AAU ball. And these guys just want to play together with their friends. They're not teaching them the fundamentals of the game so that when they get to college, these quote-unquote number one recruits and all this stuff, they don't even look that good in college.
Yeah.
Where it used to be, these guys, if you were like the number one recruit coming out to college, you would beast in college. You come to college balling. Nowadays, it's like freshmen like Andrew Wiggins came out and he was okay at Kansas.
Right. He was guaranteed a number one spot anyway.
It was like, but he was all right.
Just show flashes. And he had like, what, three games where he was kind of at least dominant. You were like, wow, okay.
Jabari Parker looked good, but even some with Jabari Parker, you were like, you know, he's good, but he didn't wow me.
Right.
You know, there it used to be these guys would come out and be like, damn, okay, yeah, he going to the league. He's
like
going to the league. But now it's like,
make an immediate impact.
Yeah,
these guys
exactly.
Like,
it takes them 5 years to develop because they have to learn the fundamentals.
Right. And by the time it's like, oh, now we got to pay him, by the time they actually put their full year, oh, say last year in their rookie deal, you're like, great, now I got to overpay. I mean, he went on here saying they're just taught the game the right way at an early age. They're more skillful. It's something we really have to fix. We really have to address that. We have to teach our kids to play the right way. He blames AAU basketball. Horrible, terrible AAU basketball. It's stupid. It doesn't teach our kids how to play the game at all, so you wind up having players that are big, and they bring it up, and all they do is this fancy crap. They don't know how to post. They don't know the fundamentals of the game. And what he said, because he played over, well, he was overseas with his pops. He said, I probably wouldn't be able to dribble with my left and shoot with my left and have good footwork. And he, you know, I mean, we agree. I mean,
when is the last time a player came out of college where you were just like, he is a great defender?
Well, it's probably Andrew Wiggins.
I mean, a great defender. James Posey came out of Xavier. You were like, he can play some D. Yeah. Tony Allen came out of Oklahoma State. You were like, he can play some D.
Yeah.
What, dudes don't play D no more.
They
don't
learn how, known to play D.
Dudes don't. They're not teaching these guys how to play defense. Everybody just wants to cross over and shoot jumpers and highlight dunk and all this other stuff. It's like, dude, you want to know how to have a 10, 15-year career in the NBA? Learn the fundamentals. If you know how to shoot, you can post up, you can dribble, use both hands at the rim, you will have a long career because guys can use you.
Yeah, and he said it's all about dipping into people's pockets. He said it's not going to be able to change overnight, and it's not. This is something you'll have to put years in. It's probably going to be like seven, eight, a decade to turn these things around. Because, look, I mean, European players are taught to basically dribble, pass, shoot, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not saying that all these big dudes should learn how to shoot threes. But they know how to shoot.
They're taught to play team ball.
Yeah, like Marc Gasol, I don't need Marc Gasol to shoot three, but he can hit a 15-footer consistently. Because out here can't do that. Can you set a proper screen?
He knows how to rebound. Exactly.
Right.
He knows how to defend properly. Mm-hmm. He knows how to get in proper position. Yeah. It's just his basketball IQs.
Yeah.
If you should look at a lot of these Euros, their basketball IQs are high.
Right.
And basketball IQs.
And it usually takes them about a year or two
to develop to the speed of the game.
Right. And then when they get that, they just start blowing up. So you're not surprised.
There's a reason for that.
And he said that's why you see the Gasol brothers are like that. He's like, that's why you see the Spurs. It's like, we drafting all European dudes.
Look at Nicolas Batum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look at Jose Calderon. He don't turn the ball over.
Nope.
That's what I'm like.
Yeah, you got your exception. Like, well, you got Ricky Rubio. I'm like, well, yeah. But you got.
Yeah. Jared, you got Darko. And yeah, I mean, it shit happens. Yeah. There's bust out there, just like there's bust out here.
Mm-hmm. You know, but they learned it at an early age, and now for out here is just we get to play with each other.
It's starting to get to the point. It almost seems like the European players are more of the safer bet, as opposed to some of these college kids that are coming out. Honestly,
yeah, you'll see a dude who's hyped up, and you'll just be like, I'll pick him, let him stay over there for 2 years,
and they develop their game more. Like
until the dude becomes like a straight stud, and you're like, okay, you can come over now.
Yep,
and there you go.
There you go.
Yeah, but he was speaking that real.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on to Mr. King James. You know, out 2 weeks with a lower back, left knee strains.
I mean,
they've been struggling already.
I've been saying for the longest, LeBron has been getting used and used and used. And I just think in Miami, he was just used up. Mm-hmm. And he's breaking down. He's starting to break down a little bit.
You're playing almost 40 minutes. For what, like 100 games? Because basically he went to the finals for, that's like 100 games.
100 games. Well, so we're going to put what, 400 plus games?
Yeah.
40 minutes, minutes.
That's going to take a beating. And you would think, okay, I left Miami. I got these dudes. Let me kind of take back. That's why that whole Kyrie Irving, I want you to handle the rock more. None of that.
I mean, look at Luol Deng. And as much as he was abused and used by Tom Thibodeau, you're like, he don't even look like he got anything left.
Like, please don't do that to Jimmy Butler. Like, please do not play Jimmy Butler 40 minutes every damn game,
sir.
Yeah,
it happens, man. So, I mean, especially with a guy like LeBron. Mm-hmm. When you're the best of the best, you're going to get run a lot.
Yeah. He's only playing 32 minutes. What's wrong with him?
He's been playing in the NBA since he was 18 years old.
You know, if you try to play him less minutes, people think something's wrong. Like, I'm just
trying to
rest
him. He's basically been playing 40 minutes a game for 12 years.
LeBron won a coast. play major minutes. And, you know, Kyrie Irving now, back tightness.
Yeah.
Bears, y'all, bang, it's gone.
Out for the season. I said, everybody was like, one X factor for certain teams. My X factor for them was depth because they ain't got none.
Nope. Hey, Kevin Love, this is your
better,
chance.
You better stay healthy.
We need Minnesota Kevin Love. We need to see you in the post.
If he gets hurt, they done.
Oh, they get hurt. It's just like.
They Philly-esque. But, yeah, I mean, Kevin Love.
I hope he gets some time to shine. Yeah, I hope he gets some post work. You know, show them what you can do.
He had a good game today. Mm-hmm. Put up like 30-13, something like that. So, I mean, it's Minnesota Kevin Love, basically. He get to do what he want.
Yeah, they lost the game, though.
It's Minnesota Kevin Love, like I said. Nah, but, I mean, Cleveland, it's going to be tough for them. Mm-hmm. The East has improved.
Yeah,
everybody assume you get three. You can just get three people together, and this is going to be a cakewalk. No, it doesn't work that way. And we said their big three is not the same as Miami's big three. That was a huge difference.
But, yeah, I mean they 6.5 back. Oof. You know, they're a game and a half ahead of number six Milwaukee. Yep. I mean they're what 2.5 back of Washington.
Ugh.
I mean, Atlanta, man.
Atlanta's beasting.
Atlanta is
they are the talk of the NBA because nobody predicted they would be number one in the East.
Nope.
I didn't think they'd make the playoffs.
Yeah, we were talking about where they're going to do that.
I didn't think they'd make the playoffs, but clearly they're going to make the playoffs.
Bigger issue for the Cavs to me, you know, organization shut down the rumors of a rift with head coach David Blatt over his ability to reach the team. You know, it's like, oh, now we talking about the coach. Oh, it's because of problems. I ain't hear none of that. All this joke. Oh, well, LeBron's coaching the team.
We were serious. We weren't lying. We were serious. See, we said LeBron is coach, GM, like owner, and all.
I don't like that because that's like saying with Peyton Manning. Oh, Peyton Manning run the offense. Like, okay, so that means I can just give you any offensive coordinator and they're going to look good? Of course not. Mm-mm. You know, but it's like, okay, when they winning, let's not talk about David Blatt. At all. I mean, we didn't even hear nothing about David Blatt.
You've seen the videos and clips where they kind of phasing him out of the huddles and stuff. And it's like, oh, but he's to blame.
Right.
But I said, he does not have control over this team.
No.
Clearly, he ain't got control over this team. Mm-hmm. And I mean, as a coach, you have to have control. You have to. But in defense of David Blatt, he was hired pre-LeBron. Mm-hmm. That wasn't his fault.
Yeah, he was hired to coach a young lottery team.
A young, sorry team. And then y'all bring me LeBron James, the best player. Now my expectations went from down here to now I got to make it to the finals.
Yeah, from going to the playoffs to winning bullshit. It all.
That's bullshit. I'd stay that to the freaking order, too. That's bullshit. You expect me to just all of a sudden, oh, yeah, we take him to the finals. Word! It's my first year in the NBA. I mean, Jesus. So I got to give him a little bit of a slide because I'm like, yeah, he came in expecting to coach, you know, a younger team. They weren't going to be, you know, expectations were diminished.
Yeah, he kind of gets to learn the game. Like if you knew, well, and Spoelstra people said they knew, but clearly I don't think so.
I don't think he knew.
Because if you knew you would get LeBron James, Kevin Love.
You weren't hiring him.
You weren't hiring a brand new to the NBA coach.
He should have gone to the Knicks then.
Yeah.
If he wanted a team that he could just rebuild and take it easy, Nick should hire him.
Yeah, go to Minnesota.
Something
like that. Well, you at least kind of like, all right, there's no, let me put my stamp on this team. This is just, you know, it's more to, I got to
do what LeBron
says.
Yeah. You got to do what LeBron says.
You know, which basically means we'll see how the season goes. No, I don't think he's going to get canned this season.
That
would be kind of ugly.
But
they don't make
it. It wouldn't shock me if they did.
No,
I've seen Dan Gilbert do it before.
Yeah, I'm sure if they don't get past the second round.
Oh, if they lose in the first round or second round, they done.
You know, they might not. You know, if I was them, I would not want to be on that five spot.
Not at all.
Because that's hard. Right now they're playing Washington.
I'm picking Washington. I'd favor Washington in that one. Real talk. LeBron or not.
Right. It's early and whatnot. So, you know, Cleveland still got a chance to move up. But, that ain't looking hot.
Not at all.
Speaking of them Hawks, it is now, it wasn't just Booth Levinson now. Now all of the ownership is like, you know what? We for sale. I saw that. I was like, okay. So, the majority owner, you know, was willing to sell. Now all the ownership group is like, the 100% of the Hawks is available. for sale.
Because they seeing what I've been saying for the longest. People ain't coming to the games. Even though the Hawks are good and first in the East, I guarantee you people ain't going to the games at Phillips. I know they not. I know they not. The funny thing is when I lived in Atlanta, there was no like, there's no draw. Like with the Lakers, you see in the Clippers, you see highlights and you see billboards and you see all this other stuff. There was none of that in Atlanta. They're not pumping them up. I saw more Braves crap than the Hawks.
Is it mainly because they don't have a star? Or is it just that?
I think that's part of it.
Or is it just basketball? It's more of a football town than.
It's the South, so yeah. They love their football.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
The Hawks and your UGA and all that.
But again, I mean, you know, San Antonio, Dallas, they're in the South too, and they're doing well. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think part of it is they don't have a star player, which is why they should have drafted Chris Paul.
Yeah.
And the other one is the ownership, to me, isn't doing enough for the public and, you know, publicizing the team enough. They're not putting them out there enough.
Right.
So people are like, you know what? Why go? Right. I mean, at least with Clipper, where Lakers and, you know, you have, you know, things on the radio, you can win tickets and blah, 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 blah. I don't know. I don't remember hearing anything about that in Atlanta. There's no incentive for the consumer to come to your game. Man. Why? I mean, Falcons games, they selling out.
Right.
They're the Falcons. Y'all need to do some work to, you know, bring that crowd in there.
No, they're going to have to.
Because, I mean, you're in a city with a lot of, there is a lot of diversity.
Man, it's a lot to do.
It seems like it's a little, you know, this side and this side a little bit still, but there is diversity there. You have a lot of white people. You have a lot of black people.
You got
a lot of money in there. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you got to do what you can.
A lot of corporate dollars.
Absolutely. So, you know, publicize that team, man. Pump them out there. Because especially right now, they're winning.
I'm actually happy for the
I'd be giving away tickets.
I'm happy for the Hawks and the players just for the fact that we get to talk about their game and not, oh, ownership got racial issues and thinking the fans is too
black. I'm glad they did not let that affect their play.
No,
they didn't. And the coach has done a great job, you know, coasting that team along. And to me, he really isn't getting enough credit. I know Doc Rivers got a lot of credit, you know, for what he did with the Donald Sterling situation. I got to give this man some credit, too. Mm-hmm. You know, he's dealing with, you know, not the same situation, but it is a similar situation.
I mean, and, you know.
In the South.
Yeah. You know, so, L.A. people are kind of like, well, you know, Donald Sterling, we knew for a while. This ain't complaining about with ownership. It's just like, oh, you're making comments in a fairly black city.
Yeah. Like, so I kudos to him, man. He's done a great job keeping them afloat and keeping them focused on the task at hand.
And Derek Fisher says Melo could shut it down this season.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, like give it. Yeah.
If he is that hurt that he, because I heard he ain't playing again the next game. Mm. If he's that hurt that he can't play, sit him down. Shut him down. I mean, look, I know Knicks fans are gonna be pissed off and upset and like, you know, Melo, why'd you even come back then and blah blah blah. And I mean, look. The man tried. He wanted to come back to New York and, you know, do something there. But we all knew this was going to be kind of a mulligan-type season for them. They ain't had no money. You got a brand-new GM, a brand-new coach. You got Melo and nothing else. I mean, seriously. We can't really be oblivious to the fact that we just thought the Knicks were just going to be this great team this season. We knew it wasn't going to be like that. The triangle does not seem to be working.
No.
So, I mean, Derek Fisher, I hope he knows a different kind of offense so he can just bring in his own kind. Like, Phil, this ain't working.
Yeah.
Or I don't know if Phil's like, look, I'll get you the pieces to make it work. I don't know. But it just, I don't know. They're God, they suck.
Yeah, they're trying to get a winning taste.
They're trying to get that number one pick.
Yeah, right now they 5-31. I mean, ahead of Philly.
Barely.
Yeah.
Barely. But golly, they are horrible.
I mean, this is like,
they're the second worst team in the league.
Yeah.
The New York Knicks.
What more can be said?
You know what I'm saying? Spike Lee.
3-15 at home.
Jeez. Spike Lee, I know he's like, fuck, I lost
11 straight.
Spike, stop going to the games, man. Yeah. Stop going to the games. Just wait till they get good.
11
again.
Straight games there.
Golly.
Now people going to say they playing for that number one pick. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Carmelo, I ain't been saying he didn't come back just for this year.
No.
he's going to gut it out because, like, why would I give up so y'all can just talk shit about me and saying I quit? But if it's going to be a lingering problem, you paid this dude all this money, you can tell you're not winning. I'd give him the month of January. I'd monitor him, see how it goes to the All-Star break. If it doesn't get any better or if it gets worse, sit your ass down. Let's play these young dudes and just be like, hey, we building. We got Carmelo. Let's see what else we can do.
Damn.
11 and he's 11 straight. Ooh,
that ain't coach of the year material, sir.
No. I should be like, Phil, come on down. Hurry up.
Yeah, when is he coming?
I don't know. On to some college football now, man. Well, we finally got that first taste of the college football playoffs.
Thank God the BCS is gone. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, yeah.
Thank God.
Because you had, of course, the Rose Bowl, Oregon, whooping butt.
Yes!
Ended that streak. I mean, Florida State, you know, we got this discussion on Twitter. They were not an elite team. They were good. Mm-hmm. I mean, winning 20-some-odd straight games ain't no fluke.
No.
You can't do that.
And for people who want to crap on them, you know, and I heard they, like, I feel bad for some of these cats in the South because I can see it. I guess some of the dudes got their cars keyed and
damn.
It's the South. I get it. I understand. But damn, it's like, dude, they won 29 straight or 26 straight and lost once.
And we lost in the playoffs.
And we lost in the playoffs to go to the championship. And you keying my car? That's the type of shit Chris and I cannot stand. Like, how about you guys be happy that these guys made it this far? Because in my opinion, they shouldn't have been in the top four anyway.
Nope.
That's my opinion. But, you know, they tried. It didn't go their way. You know, the way it's looking, you ain't going to have to worry about Jameis anymore. Which means you may go back to mediocrity. So, in a sense, you should be grateful for the time he was here.
Yeah, you had to deal with the Heisman Trophy winner. Marcus Mariota, 26-36, 338 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception, 8 carries, 62 and a touchdown. I mean,
Dude
was going off.
Number one pick.
Yeah, these were arguably the top two quarterbacks in this draft. I mean, 59-20. And they came out with a 27-point third quarter. I mean, Oregon was up there for a reason. You know, after they had that loss to Arizona, kind of got their offensive line healthy, and they've been trucking.
Their offense is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just keep going. It's like, damn. I see why cats get tired and can't beat them because, damn, you're wearing me out.
Yep. And then, of course, the big upset. You know, shout out to Ohio State. I did not have Ohio State. You know, I didn't think they was going to get in. I actually thought TCU was going to get in. But Ohio State came through, pulled out the upset.
Definitely. Did a great job. Started off slow.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like it was going to be a blowout. And Alabama was just going to whoop on them. But kudos to Ohio State. And kudos to this kid. It was Cardale Jones, third string quarterback.
Coming off the second game.
Shout out to Urban Meyer.
Because
that's a hell of a coaching job.
That is.
Damn. Third string. Because remember early on in the season, it was like Braxton Miller got hurt. Oh, our season's over.
Yeah.
And I was like, hold on. Let's see what this kid got. And this kid, JT Barrett, was killing it. And then he goes down. Oh, our season's over again.
Let's see
what this kid got. And he looks good.
You know, demolished, shut out Wisconsin.
They killed Wisconsin. Here, yeah. And the kid, apparently, he's a big kid. He's like 6'4", 250. Like, he's a big guy.
Yeah.
And he can wing that ball. He can throw that ball from the pocket. So, woo.
Yeah, but the big star for Ohio State, Ezekiel Elliott. 20 carries, 230 yards, 2 touchdowns. On that, you know, supposedly stout Alabama rushing defense. You know, rushing, they hadn't given up, I think, like 100-some yards in, you know, so many games. And, I mean, 281 total rushing yards on a Nick Saban team says a lot.
Yeah, it does.
Because he's all about stopping the run. Mm-hmm. And basically, he couldn't stop shit. You know, averaging 6.7 yards a carry. I mean,
crazy. Crazy. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, they did a good job taking out Amari Cooper.
Who still had
a decent guy. I mean, nine catches, 71 yards, two touchdowns.
Yeah. That's college.
You know what I'm saying? So he seems to be the number one wide receiver coming out this year. But, I mean, kudos again to Ohio State. Nobody gave him a shot, really.
No.
It was like, you know. And you know what? Shout out to the playoff committee, because it didn't even dawn on me till I realized watching these games. I was like, there were four teams from four different conferences. Yeah. I didn't realize that.
I did. But,
you know, kudos. Yeah. That was great. That's what I want to see. I don't want to see three SEC teams and a Pac-12. Nah. I like to see this because I'm like, well, what you got to say about the Big Ten now?
Mm-hmm.
What you got to say about the Pac-12 now? How good was FSU? Clearly, they weren't that good. Yeah. We saw all the close games they had. Then they played a good team and got walloped.
Yeah. I mean,
Alabama, all this pub about the SEC West, and they all extra good. The SEC West lost a lot of games in these bowl games.
You know, TCU blew out Ole Miss.
That's what I'm saying.
Peach Bowl. Georgia Tech routed Mississippi State in the Orange Bowl. Wisconsin beat Auburn.
Hey, shout out to Melvin Gordon. He is a monster. He is a monster. He might have to be the number one running back coming into the draft because he's always getting like 200 yards. And I think he came like 40-something yards shy of breaking Barry Sanders' all-time single-season rushing
That's
record.
That's crazy.
So I'm like, he's a monster.
And you know what else with the Big Ten? Michigan State.
That game was awesome.
Three fourth-quarter touchdowns come back to beat Baylor in the Cotton Bowl.
That game was awesome.
That game was great.
I saw that game. Yeah, I saw the last quarter of that game. That game was great. I mean, Bryce Petty, man.
What can you do?
What can you 36, do? 36,
51, 550 yards, three touchdowns, interception. What do you want me to do?
What more do you want from me? Do I got to throw for 700?
Set a record.
Like, I mean, shoot. This was... Golly, but I mean, what killed Baylor? Their running game. 22 carries for negative 20 yards. Negative 20 yards. Oh, my God.
You're down. You're up. If somebody tell me you up 41-21 going into the fourth quarter, you like, we good.
That game is over, but I got to give it to Michigan State. They didn't give up.
Nope.
Who's this quarterback? Connor Cook? Man. He had some ugly passes, but he made the ones count that needed to count. Because shit,
yeah, he made the damn thing happen, man.
Yeah, he did.
Hey, I mean, good showing for the Big Ten. And now you got Jim Harbaugh coming through. You know,
that's what I'm saying. What you got to say about the Big Ten now?
I mean,
what you got to
if
say?
If I'm Urban Meyer, I'm like, yeah. I mean, you know, now I got now. You know, we might be more legit. Hey, we can move a little higher if we go undefeated.
I'm just saying, I'm like, maybe the SEC ain't as dominant as everybody thought.
Well, SEC is not where it was 7-8 years ago when they were like continuously winning BCS championships. That it's too much of a passing game now. It's too much of an offensive game. You know, guys like the Pac-12 got all the damn quarterbacks.
I mean, yes, sir.
shout out to Hundley, UCLA beating Kansas State in the Alamo Bowl. I mean, that's the way it's gone now. It's just gone the way the NFL. We want to just shoot out a lot. And the SEC, you can't just stack the box no more.
Yeah.
A lot of the no huddle and all that is making it less difficult. It's making it difficult for these guys to, you know, for that defense to be as vaunted. And, you know, we've seen it the last couple years. You know, granted, during the season, the SEC is tough.
Oh, yeah.
But for some reason, in the bowl games, they haven't come through. And, you know, we beforehand, when they was winning bowl games, we judge all these other conferences on how many bowl games your conference win. And you're not that good. And
people
now
people can argue, you know, they beat each other up and all that stuff. And I'm like, well,
fine. That means you should be, you know, like you sparring against the best.
You should be prepared.
Yeah. This is not the NBA Western Conference where I got to go three rounds getting my ass whooped to get to the championship. I'm like, dude, you had like a week off. You got 3 weeks off.
Yep.
You be having a gang of time to prepare. Mm-hmm. That's part of the reason I sometimes don't like them. Like, you got 3 weeks to prepare for a team.
Yep.
And you're like, oh, it's an upset. Like, you had 3 weeks for one game. Yeah. But this is going to be a good one. Ohio State, Oregon.
Ohio State, Oregon. Come on, Oregon. Been waiting, it seems like, 10 years for them to win a title. Come on and win one.
Please, folks on the side, don't be salty. I know it's been a while since you ain't had no representative in the national championship. You are going to be flooded with out-of-towners because Ohio State fans travel and Oregon fans travel. Mm-hmm. So you're going to see a lot of O's all around. So, I mean, I can't wait. I want to see who. I want to see which fan base shows up more. We're going to see more green, or we're going to see more silver and red.
Because the game is where out here?
It's in Texas.
That was in Ooh. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's going to be packed.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be packed.
In Arlington, Texas.
All right now.
Yeah, that's on January 12th. We'll be there watching
that. We'll be watching that for sure.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good college games. Kind of sad to see that go.
Yeah.
Now, last game, it's like, oh, well. You know, I mean, I get to get in my NBA more, which we will be as the season goes on. But it's like, oh, we getting less football to talk about.
Yeah.
You know, so our shows may be a little bit shorter, which y'all probably like cool because the joint's kind of long.
I'm tired of hearing about that all that football anyway. Get to basketball.
But, for us to be like, who we do enjoy talking football, it's like, oh, man. Yeah. Okay.
Especially me with my Broncos, that's for sure.
I know, man. It gets close. It's just fun. Football is that sport.
Yep.
All right, y'all, it's that time. We're getting on to our awards for the week.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's start off with the Norse Award as usual.
Norse.
All right, for me, my Norse Award going out to Cam Newton. Gets his first playoff victory. Happy for the brother. I know he's tried. As he didn't think he was going to win this game, but, you know, he did it. His reaction after he won the game with the ESPN crew. Remind me of that Key and Peele skit. He was like, yeah.
Hey, congratulations.
Steve Young.
Hey, Ray Lewis, what happened? Hey, my brother.
Yeah, that's funny. Because the joint I saw, he was like, thank you, thank you, thank you. My new dancing, he got to do the little Ray Lewis dance. Like, that's just what we do.
It's awesome.
And
I love that Key and Peele did it too, because that's how it is. Mm,
that's how it is sometimes.
We just keeping it real.
Because, I mean, granted, I think, if Steve Young or Trent Dilfer, had a more, I guess, relationship with Cam Newton, maybe he would give him, like, a little dap and all that.
People will probably forget. Cam Newton played against Ray Lewis.
Yeah.
They played at the same time. He didn't play with, Steve Young or Trent Dilfer. I'm sure he knows who they are, but, right. We dapped each other up, every time we played each other. So we're cooler than
each other around and whatnot.
It wasn't no disrespect.
Oh, yeah. It's just you folk.
It was just funny. Yeah. That's my homie. What you don't know that.
What
up,
like,
man?
Get this little quick shake. Let me get what's up? Put a little extra on
that. That was funny.
That was great. Shout out to Cam, man. I'm happy for you. Got to do your Superman thing. You're going to need to do more of that. You might have to actually pull the cape out.
Oh, don't.
This week?
I don't know, man. You don't want to rattle that cage. I mean, don't rattle that cage.
No, you're going to have a Legion of Boom on that ass.
I don't know.
So, good luck with that.
All right, for me, my Norse Award, I got to give it to DeMarcus Lawrence, the defensive lineman from the Cowboys, who looked like he was going to be the GOAT of the game for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Had a fumble recovery that he picked up, and it was like, oh, Dallas going to win. Oh, and then he fumbled the ball right back, and it was like, oh, Detroit scooped it up. Detroit's ball first down, and you're like, if we lose this fucking game because it is full. And lo and behold, comes down to fourth down, Lions last chance. He gets the sack to bring down Matt Stafford and end the game. So kudos to him. He's a rookie. They need a pass rusher, so he's done a good job on that aspect. And kudos to him. He went from being the GOAT to the savior.
No, I was going to really feel bad if they lost, and it was like, damn, the rookie had a chance to basically make the play and ended up getting the hat trick, getting sacks, strip, and the fumble. I was like, good for him, man. Great. Good for you. You ain't got to live with that.
Yeah.
Take that ball. Take it home. Put it in your case.
Dallas fans would have been ruthless to him if they had lost that game. It would have been all his fault.
Yep. Now we just get to blame the refs.
That's funny, but yeah, that's all I got for that. All
right, on to our what the fuck moment, man.
What? What the fuck? Slow down. What? What the fuck? No! 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 Fuck that!
All right, man, what you got?
All right, I got a 1.5. One I got to give to Cam Newton for the after game. I saw the people tweeting it, too. This fool and them damn loafers. People tweeted out a picture of him and them loafers with no socks. And I was just like, gosh, he just looks on them so ankles. Tacky, man.
Like Dwayne Wade fit.
It was so ugly. But, I mean, congrats on the win. But, damn, man. Them loafers are terrible. And my other what the fuck is going to the Lakers. Because there is a clip that I just happened to stumble upon. The last game they had against Memphis, Lakers were down 1 point in the fourth quarter. There was about 13 seconds left. The shot clock and the game clock were exactly the same. Mike Conley's dribbling the ball at half court, and nobody's doing anything. And Kobe's looking like, foul him. And Kobe runs from basically right next to the basket all the way to half court to foul Mike Conley. And it really made me wonder, are the Lakers really trying to tank this season? Because I you know, conspiracy theorists over here, I'm looking and I'm like, okay. Had the Lakers had won that game, they'd have 11 wins right now. And they would be technically ahead of, they would be sixth. Mm. They'd be behind the Charlotte Hornets for that sixth spot. Currently, they're tied with Detroit for the fourth, fifth spot in the draft. Mm-hmm. Or, for, I guess, you know, they'd be able to keep their pick or whatever. Right. So it really got me thinking. I'm like, with this situation, you want Kobe to shoot more. Are y'all really trying to tank? It looks so weird to me just because I'm like, a five-year-old knows in that situation you need to foul him. Yeah, like it's not common sense. We talked about this with Hoopla yesterday. Yeah, like, but I'm just
cussing out Jeremy Lin. You and then John showed me the video. Jeremy Lin is clearly kind of like looking at the bench.
Yeah, and it's like I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what's going on with that organization. Are they trying to tank? I don't know. Magic said they need to keep lose, and then they pull crap like this. They rest in Kobe and I don't know what they're doing. So, you know, I don't know what the fuck the Lakers are doing.
Trying to keep that pick.
Mm-hmm. That clearly.
I got a couple. Right. I got a first off that ref who picked up that pass interference flag, because I was like, I've never seen a call reversed like that so damn late. And there was the thing that shocked me the most. Well, there was no
announcement.
Yeah. Oh, let me get back on the mic. You know, reverse that. There was no flag on the play. fourth down, Detroit. Nothing. Like, pass interference, 57, first down, and then all of a sudden, Detroit's punting. Like, what? What the fuck? What happened? Oh, the flag went up. What? And if I'm at the, especially if I'm at the game where I don't have like all the TV and all, you're like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
I mean, granted, if you're Dallas, you're like, what? Oh, sweet. Yeah. But if I'm Detroit, I'm like, can you tell me what the fuck just happened? You just told me it's first down. Why are we punting? So I was like, what? I'm like, okay, that was strange. And that's going to be talked about. Ref is going to get
absolutely
a letter.
Absolutely.
He's going to get
getting disciplined.
Yeah, he's getting a letter, email. You
something.
Know, I heard tonight. Like, well, maybe this is the first time this group has been together for the playoffs. So? I'm like, well, he won't be next week. Yeah. Well, you know what? We're going to
we're going to hold you out of the playoffs.
Yeah, we'll sit you down. Appreciate it.
Preseason duty.
My other one goes to Marvin Lewis, head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals, who is now 0-6. 0-6 playoff record in the playoffs. Tied with who?
Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
The infamous
Jim Moore Sr. I know. Can we just win a playoff game? Damn, bruh. 0-6 with a team with some talent.
That means you have made it six times. You've been bounced the first time.
And
every time,
you know,
right?
And they hadn't been on the road all them times. They've won a division a couple games. So, I mean, it's like, ah, damn. And I gotta play this again.
What? What the fuck? Slow down. What? What the fuck? No! 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 Fuck that!
This one is a straight up, what the fuck, as in it's sad. I did not.
Yeah.
See, it was news you don't want
to
hear.
Was like, what?
You know, rest in peace, Stuart Scott.
Serious rest in peace to Stuart
Scott. Died at 49 years old. ESPN. I mean, I remember like where I was, but I remember when he was on ESPN and mm-hmm. started, and you just had this feeling like, man, I love what I made you want to watch SportsCenter to see what he was going to say.
He brought a little flair. Mm-hmm. It was one of those situations, and I tweeted that out today, that he brought a different dynamic to broadcasting, and he opened things up for the African-American community. You never really saw these African-American brothers on these talk networks, and a lot of them are very PC mm-hmm. and, you know, kind of, you know, buttoned up, and I don't, you know, I have to be, you know, basically a robot almost.
Right.
And he came, and it's like, fuck that. I'm going to say what I want to say.
Right.
I'm going to put my own spin on this a little bit. And it was so different. And as a young African-American kid, it was awesome to see.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, wow. He's talking like I'm talking.
Yeah.
He talks like I do. And it was just so awesome to see, man. And I did tear up seeing his little ESPY speech about him and fighting cancer and all that. And I do want to say to his daughters, you know, I know it's tough. Chris and I have been there, losing a father at a young age. I mean, we know.
Mm-hmm.
Know it's going to be rough. Know it's going to be tough. But what I would say take out of this is, you know, reading Twitter, you know, seeing what people have written about him, you know, be proud of the impact your father mm-hmm. had on this whole nation. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just see the impact he had on people. You know, people, I have not seen one bad thing written about that man.
No.
I've seen nothing but positives. He was a great guy and this and that. And he motivated a lot of people. And he did a lot for the black community.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I know he's part of the National Association of Black Journalists. Mm-hmm. He was frat, member of the AFIA. Shout out. He changed the whole game of sports broadcasts. And I mean, making people like us want to do a show like this.
Yeah.
That people like, maybe people want to listen. Because, you know, he was doing it out of respect. You knew it wasn't fake. You knew he wasn't just doing it for the camera. It was like, this is me. And it wasn't like, because I don't even like the word swag like that. It wasn't swag, because sometimes swag is fake. He just had this confidence.
He was himself.
Yeah.
He was Stuart Scott.
And I saw the little piece, that great piece SportsCenter released this morning, that, you know, a lot of people are like, early on, I don't know about that.
I don't know
that.
If it'll work.
It'll work, but I mean, it caught on. Everybody now has some kind of catchphrase. You know, the booyah. You know, Craig and them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, man, dude is going to be missed, man. I mean, it's
without
just.
Without question.
I've never had a chance to meet the brother, but.
You almost feel that, like you have.
Yeah, and the thing that you love to see more when people talk about a person like this, you see them mention the impact he had on his profession and changing the game, but you see a lot more of who he was as a person and people that he affected personally with who he was. And that goes to show
his family for sure.
Yeah. And that goes to show what kind of person he really was. So yeah, rest in peace to him.
Yeah.
You know, prayers go out to the family, friends,
prayers go out to ESPN. Cause mm-hmm. I know he did a lot for that, mm-hmm. that company.
He you took know, the brand. He made the brand.
He
know,
took
more
it to
popular,
another level,
you know, added some hip hop flair. You know,
and I mean, now you see a lot more black anchors.
Mm-hmm.
And
he didn't seem like there weren't that many before.
Jay Harris
mm-hmm.
is on there. You got Mike Tirico, who does the Monday Night Football. You got a lot more mm-hmm. brothers on there. And even Jay Harris, kind of himself, he does his own thing. And yeah, like you said, a lot of the anchors, they use catchphrases now. They do their thing.
I mean, he influenced the guys he was with. I mean, Rich Eisen was, you hear Rich Eisen talk, Scott Van Pelt.
Yeah.
A lot of those dudes, you kind of like,
all
right.
Trey Wingo and all them guys.
You kind of, you can have fun while doing it. It's not just, oh, we're just reporting something serious. And
Chris
news.
Berman.
Yeah.
You know?
You have another, I mean, he did all the shows. Yeah. I mean, if he went from just a regular sports center.
Basketball and football and
all of that. Gets the interview. Yeah. I like seeing his interviews.
Yeah, he used to be out in the field too. And mm-hmm. yeah, man.
Hey, man, he's his thing, cooler than the other side of the pillow.
Yeah.
That's real, man. So you will be missed, man.
Yes, sir.
And
pave the way for guys like us to do what we're doing today.
Yeah, a lot of people who are doing this. So
absolutely.
You will be missed, man. We appreciate everything that you've done for your people and just in general for your life, man.
Absolutely.
And I hope you are up there telling Jesus and everybody
and
else.
Telling our dad.
Telling God some sports news.
You know what I'm saying?
Making everybody laugh,
yeah,
putting a smile
sure.
on their face.
Absolutely.
All right, y'all. We want to say thank y'all for tuning in to another episode of the Brother Layman Sports Happy Hour, brought to you by the Black Is Network. If y'all want to find us, you can check us out at our homepage, blackisonline.com. You can also find us on Stitcher and iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio. Just do a search for Black Is.
Nice.
You can find us there. If y'all want to reach out to us, please do. Brotherslayman@gmail.com, on Twitter at Brotherslayman, on the hotline 323-455-4219.
Definitely want to thank y'all for tuning in. For the longtime listeners, definitely want to thank y'all for keeping up with us. For the first time listeners, thank you for checking us out and see what we about up here in the Sports Happy Hour. Shout out to the Hoopla crew. They caught me a little off guard the last time, but I'm prepared today. Go ahead and tell all your loved ones. Tell your mamas, daddies, sisters, brothers, cousins, aunties, uncles, nieces, nephews. Shout out to my niece and nephew upstairs. I can hear them right now. And go ahead and tell all your cats, dogs, chicken, ducks, roosters. And I'm feeling in a little cartoonish mode today. Go ahead and tell Rocky and Bullwinkle. Go ahead and tell the Ninja Turtles. Go ahead and tell He-Man. Tell Angry Birds. Go ahead and tell who we got? Dexter's Laboratory. Go ahead and tell the Powderpuff Girls. Tell Teen Titans. Tell everybody about the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, where it goes down. And we have been your hosts, Chris and Jonathan, where we're giving it to you strong, and it goes down smooth.
Take it easy, y'all.
Holla.
What's in the back of my mind, sitting in the back of that thing? With them two double R's sitting in the back of my brain. Anywhere but here, that's what I told my chauffeur. Hey, this shit getting heavy. Weight of the world on my shoulders. Think you figured it out, but you don't have a clue. Think you on top of the world, but the world on top of you. I started hustling for draws, and now there's plaques on the walls. Think I'm selling my soul, then you can come get them all. Trade them all for my dogs. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Where do we go wrong? Because I don't have a clue. You just wanna hit the mall and buy a new pair of shoes. But it's real consequences, nigga. Remember the rules. So I regret the day you ever served that nigga. Took 5 years of your life, you didn't deserve that nigga. I guess power and pain, look, it's somewhat the same. I lost my dog to the fame, I charge it all to the game. Please, Lord, forgive him. You know we got that thug in him. We love for alcohol and we love women. And ain't nobody gave us nothing, so we drug dealing. You know we got them Louis Lopez, just a thug in him. And when you made it this far, you should be making a toast. Got the seats reclined and I be doing
in the
most.
In the back of this Holy Ghost. Yeah, in the back of this Holy Ghost. Yeah, in the back of this Holy Ghost.
So far, but yet it feels so surreal. Hood nigga, half a million, automobile. I'm talking real luxury. Don't feel a bump in the road. We like the rest of these niggas. They fall out over hoes. Thought you my nigga forever. Thought that you could be trusted. Man, I found that you taking it really had me disgusted. Nigga, who am I kidding? It felt like a heart attack. Cause I gave you my heart and didn't ask for it back. And to be honest with you, I really thought we was brothers. Fuck was everybody brothers in this world as long as we got each other. Yeah. Would have done anything. Took a traffic and charge. Every day on my head just to see you living large. Yeah, the pity the kills. Gave you your first meal. Now I ain't tell you to blow it. I ain't tell you to throw it. You fell a victim to pressure. Yeah, I know it can stress you. But you're only a man, homie. I ain't mad at you. Please, Lord, forgive him. You know we got that thug in him. We love for alcohol. You know we got them Louis Lopez, just a thug in them. And when you made it this far, you should be making a toast. Got the seats reclined and I be doing
in
the most.
In the back of this Holy Ghost. Yeah, in the back of this Holy Ghost. Yeah, in the back of this
I
Holy Ghost.
I can't see out the windows between your shades and your tent. Sipping good in the back. I'm like, fuck it, I'm bit. If it don't make dollars, then it don't make any sense. They saying I owe them dollars, then that don't make any sense. Almost fell for the bait. I'ma fell for the hate. And I'm the same nigga that let you niggas eat all my plate. Saw that shit from the dough. Knew that shit from the go. I guess this how I go. Sit back and laugh at the show. Remember back in the day, a nigga took your shit. Told you don't put it there and a nigga stole your brick. Then I put you back on. Did I handle you wrong? When niggas start acting weak, that means it's time to be strong. See, I kept it so real. I ain't keep it real with myself. I'm gonna be real with you niggas. I gotta be real with myself. And I'm be real. If this pay back for my sins, I guess I need to repent. Please, Lord, forgive them. You know we got that thug in them. We lust for alcohol and we love women. And ain't nobody gave us nothing, so we drug dealing. You know we got them Louis Lopez.